sources. You should put it all on. It's just like going through.
Some of the stuff is pretty cool. It'd
be fun to just look over all the research papers that the reviewers write. Yeah.
But not the. What's this one? Are you going to have a test entry?
Yeah.
So, what is today? Maybe I shouldn't give you homework, but.
I agree.
No more things to finally do on.
I think I'll make this initially due on Monday. How's that?
That works.
Because you do need a homework sometime that we can postpone. So what number would this be?
11.
11? Okay. You got to get some practice at this stuff, otherwise it'll kind of go right out the other ear, you know? So, yesterday when
yeah.
I was given this. Actually, those guys could have had a good answer if they had thought about it. All they had to do was say, look at, you know, the last design was good. We need to do it 50% faster. We need 50% more power. But no, they just said, no, we did it that way because we didn't know how to do it the other way. That was a bad answer, really bad answer.
Like, this has potential to be a good question.
Oh, man. Anyway, so, you know, live and learn, right?
Nobody has any questions, really?
Heidi actually.
You know why? It's for the same reason you were talking about.
Yeah. Most of the people there didn't understand.
What she was doing. Yeah, Bryce will really rake her over the coals for that. I don't think he's going to rake the other guys over the coals for not doing the analysis on that, you know, on the auger. But
for not being able to understand what she was doing, or?
Yeah, right, because that has happened before, yeah.
That's my problem with my thing is, like.
So, you know, you have to figure out how to make it understandable.
Well, she defined all her terms, it's just that unless you're used to getting. Yeah, you've seen that stuff as an electrical engineer. You're
that's the thing. Right, I was able to understand the first presentation just fine, and Heidi's.
Yeah, right.
But, like.
A mechanical would be awesome.
A mechanical,
right. It was just like, where have those things?
And see, I thought that Heidi had dumbed it down quite a lot.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Like, compared to how she's been talking to me about it before.
Right, yeah. So, you know, I don't think Heidi did that badly, though, given her thing. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. If you end up with a harder problem and you don't do as well, you'll still get graded down by Bryce, I think, probably. That's been at least my, you know, when I look through the scores of my advisees, that's what I see.
It's very intimidating.
Yeah, right. So it's a challenge for the EEs especially. I mean, because, you know, we understand what a cement mixer is, but they don't know what an FPGA is.
You don't want to sit down for a whole like minute of your like thing and just be like, okay, this is what an FPGA is.
But you get like extra time just to explain those things.
Yeah, I don't know.
to explain.
I like to always get a little bit extra time.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can make a quick one-sentence thing, you know. A field programmable gate array is like a whole bunch of...
Well, yeah, I did that.
And it's different than a program, because programs go sequentially. This thing, everything happens at once.
Yeah. And Heidi did throw in like a two-sentence thing about what it does.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that helped a lot of people.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so this is chapter 9, what we're doing today here. Oh, no, chapter 8. And let me just put in, I'm going to tell you the pages to look at, too, because the stuff we're going to go over today is a little bit important. It's like 510 through about... 515 or something. 510 through 515. So for Austin, the hybrid pi model is this thing right here. It's a BJT model, and we added some extra things. Rx, also known as RBB prime, and then there's R pi, which we had before. We added a C pi here, which ends up being, you know, somewhere in the order of a couple hundred picofarads, you know, for a, you know, generic kind of transistor. We still had this beta IB here. And then we added a, we added an R mu across here. There's a C mu across here. And the reason we're adding all this stuff is because we want to take into account high frequency effects. And then there's this RO on the output, which we did have before. So here's the collector, here's the base, and down here is the emitter. Okay, so this is C mu, and this is not E mu, C mu, and R mu, and this was C pi. Now, the thing that I want to talk about today is how do we get these numbers? I mean, I gave you some ballpark numbers, and we looked up at least, you know, when we did the FETs, we looked up and we found the capacitances listed right in there, okay? But the problem is this time the C pi comes from a different kind of a thing than a reverse bias PN junction, which is kind of like a physical capacitor, and when you have that junction, you know, if you were running at a certain reverse bias, you'll probably have a certain, you know, capacitance. And, you know, you can change, the capacitance will change with a reverse bias based on how big the, you know, the depletion region gets. And so you're actually, you know, kind of changing those things by biasing the thing. But the C pi is, okay, so what am I doing wrong here? There we go. The C pi is hard, but you can't just read it off the data sheet. And that's a little problem. So let's look at a 2N2222. Did I have one up here somewhere? Yeah, here's a 2N2222. Yeah, well, I knew it was pretty recently that I looked at it, and their recent tabs are on the right. Okay, so. So we're looking for these parameters, okay? So here we have, you know, a bunch of parameters which are important, you know, breakdown voltages and stuff, and these kind of things. This HFE, we need to be able to look on here. HFE is the same. Do you remember what HFE is? Okay, so yeah, DC current gain, which is, what do we call the DC current gain?
Oh, that's our beta.
Yeah, that's your beta. And actually... this is little h sub big FE is actually the big sub big DC current gain, if you want to, you know, talk about that. But basically about the same as the little sub little. So, you know, you can see it ranges from anywhere from, 35 up to bigger than or maybe 300 or something, right? So it's a giant range, right? So, and sometimes when you have a giant range like that, it's hardly even worth having the parameter, except you kind of know it's there somewhere, right?
As long as you know what the IC is going to be, or has to be.
Well,
you might
yeah, but that's just a minimum value, that 35. See? These are minimum values. Who knows what the maximum is? Maximum could still be 300 of that at that bias. In fact, you know, you guys have been using these 2N22s in class, and most of the time the betas, it doesn't matter what the IC was, the beta was around 200, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, what I'm saying is, you got a 10 to 1 range here, 35 to 300 almost, you know, that's pretty bad.
That's why we were having trouble when we were doing the current mirror ones, or no, it was the two of them in series, the something pair.
Right, and Darlington pair, yeah.
Since it's got a lower gain, that's what our trouble was coming from.
Yeah. Well, this, this is a kind of a standard thing you have to worry about. There's things like VCE sat, that's for the saturation voltage, you know, collector to emitter. So when you turn on the transistor full blast, you'll get, you know, 0.3 volts here. And if you're running at 500 milliamps, you'll get 1 volt. So if you turn the current up, it gets a little more. Now, the thing we're going to be looking at is small signal characteristics. That's a small signal model over there, right? So we have some things here. We have an FT. This is the current gain bandwidth product, okay? And it's 300 megahertz. And then we have a COBO, output capacitance, CIBO, input capacitance. Now, you might think the CIBO is the CPI, but we'll check that out, see if that pans out. But turns out it's actually... CPI changes when you change your bias by quite a bit, okay? And of course, they gave you this at this bias here. IC equals zero, right? IC equals zero is a pretty funny bias, right?
We don't like that.
Yeah, we usually don't run at IC equals zero, right? that's what the O means here. It means open circuit. C... input base open. BO means base open or something. Anyway, then there's the collector base time constant. There's the noise figure. Noise figure is another topic we should, you know, possibly talk about sometime. And then there's the real part of HIE. HIE is one of these H parameters, which we need to talk about today. And so you look at all that, and you don't see any of those things over there, right? Maybe beta up here, HFE, right? So everything's in disguise at best, right?
That looks terrible.
So what good is that model if we can't come up with what those things are? So that's what we need to do today, basically. That's our goal here, okay? So just because I told you last day, you know, we have this nice model, you're assuming we can just find all those parameters in the data sheet and go about our business, right? Yeah, it would be nice. Well, we can, actually, but you have to do some calculations to get them. Because a lot of them, or some of them, depend on, principally, the CPI depends on the bias. Now, why would that be? Remember, CPI was kind of a Newton's law kind of a thing. When we have a whole bunch of carriers in the base emitter region, you know, to clear them out, it takes time, right? And that's kind of like, you know, any kind of a bucket, you know, when you got water in it, you know, to dump it out, it takes a little time, or to fill it up, it takes a little time, right? And that's kind of a bucket is like a capacitor, you know, the bucket is kind of like, you know, the plates on the capacitor. You're filling charge up on the plates and you're taking it away, right? And so, when you bias the transistor at a much bigger bias, then you're going to have a bigger bucket, right? Or more charge in there, right? Which is like a bigger bucket. And so we need to try and figure out how that C is going to change with, you know, collector current, basically. So the things I'd like to do first is I want to talk about the H parameter models. H parameters are another two-port set of parameters you can have. there's all kinds of two-port parameters. We talked about S parameters, which were basically related to waves. There's Z parameters, which are basically voltage equals the Z matrix times the I matrix. The Z matrix for a two-port would be a 2 pi 2, right? You can have Y parameters. That's like the current equals Y times V, right? And you can have H parameters. H are hybrid. It's partly voltage and partly input current. So if you look at the H parameters, and I better look this up and make sure I get this right in the right order. So these are H parameters. Actually, it should be little h. I keep writing big H. But everybody writes a little h. If you put a big H, yeah, people won't know what you're talking about.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So does that little h, capital F, E, is the same thing as?
Is beta.
Oh, beta?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we have to find these parameters here. This
yeah, H, I, E is another one. H. HRE is one, and it kind of comes from this kind of a model here. We have an impedance here, and this guy is a voltage source. This is the input right here. This is the VBE. And this is IB here. And then over here we have a different model. We use a current model. And it goes like this, I guess. And we have here going in, this is IC and BCE. It's a little c right there. And this guy is HIE. And this guy is HRE times this is times IC. And this guy right over here is H. FE times IB, and this one is HOE. OE, man, that's hard to write. Let's try that again. OE.
Can I confirm it?
Yeah.
I don't know if this one has RHRE times VCE.
Oh, okay, so I got the wrong thing here. Oh, yeah, IC is an output. I'm thinking wrong. VCE. And so which order do they put these? The outputs are IC and
VBE.
So we put VBE up here, right? IC, is that right?
That's the order they have.
Is that the order they have? They have a matrix equation.
They don't have a matrix, but that's the order they
That's the order they put the equations in, huh? Well, let's look. I have another tab here somewhere, maybe over here. Let's see. Large signal models right here. Okay. Admittance parameters, hybrid parameters. So it's V1 and I2. So this is V1 would be VBE and I2 is IC. So it is VBEIC. And then on the other side, if you look at there, it's on top, it's upside down, I, and then V. So this is IB and VCE. Okay? So if you look at here, VBE equals IB times HIE. So I put HIE here. Plus HREVCE, so I put HRE right there, right? And IC equals, you know, HFEIB, so I put HFE here, plus HOEVCE, Okay. So, so you can kind of see that when you think about the transistor, we've got this model over here, okay? And if you kind of look at that model, and you're going to try and make them be the same, you know, that's kind of what's going on here. But just like I said, this C pi would change over here, okay? You're going to find this HIE here changes with, just like R pi and C pi, they both change with bias point, right? So the HOE will too, right? And so when you find an HOE or whatever in the data sheet, you know, it will give you information about R pi and C pi, but it will be, you know, at that specific bias point that they labeled in the data sheet, which probably isn't your bias point, right? Which isn't that helpful then, really, right? So what we want to do is we want to figure out, you know, how these things depend on bias point. So there's this thing we saw in the data sheet, which was called F sub T right here, okay? So F sub T and finding C pi is what I needed to say there. That's what we need to do. F sub T, well, I guess what we need to do is kind of look at what we've been doing. So the question is, how do we find either the H parameters or hybrid pi parameters? Okay, so first of all, we remember that from the small signal model, R pi was equal to, the thermal voltage VT over IB, right? So, and that was really, that came from, this was the partial of IB with respect to VBE at the Q point, right? That's where we got that, okay? So we already know how to find R pi, and R pi is going to change as you change capital I sub capital B, which is changing your Q point, right? And this guy right here is, you know, like at room temperature, 26, 27 millivolts, something like that, right? Okay, so we know how to find that guy to begin with, right? And this Rx, to start out with, we could say, you know, kind of ignore this guy because he was, you know, like 10 ohms or something, not pretty big, okay? But, you know, we can kind of look at that too. And what we really want to do, we know what beta is. Beta is the HFE parameter, and you can see it varies all over the place. So even if we nailed down a much better formula for it, it's not going to make much difference, right? So we'll just kind of say beta is HFE, okay? So I'm going to say beta equals H, you know, FE, or approximately HFE, which is, you know, HFE, you know, about the same, because it varies so much. That's good enough. And RO, we know how to find RO, and RO was equal to, VA, which was the early voltage, over capital I sub capital C. Let me just kind of draw you a picture to kind of remind you where this came from. This is V. Well, maybe I should scoot this over a little bit. If I look at the, we look at the graph here. This is IC here, and VCE, and we have these curves that kind of go up like this, right? And that RO is the slope right here, is 1 over RO, right? And there was this point that they would all come down and they would all intersect. This point was the early voltage, VA, okay? And so let's look and see whether we can find the early voltage on the data sheet, but you can certainly find it from the curve tracer, right? So let's look over here. Yeah, right, you just look at it. So I don't know. Let's see if they have the early voltage. Oops, great type. No, it doesn't look like it. Okay, so they probably don't have the early voltage, but...
would they have RO?
I don't know. It doesn't look like it. Let's see, on the H, it would be HOE, right? So we could look for HOE. HOE. Yeah, where? Oh, here we go. There's some things right here. HFE, HRE, HOE. Okay. So it changes when you pick your collector current, okay? In other words, you can kind of see that on this too, right? You know, this is going to be a different one than this, right? This is a smaller RO than that, right? And that comes because they all intersect back here, right? So, you know, there is some data on that. Okay. So we can find RO. So we got this guy, C pi, R pi. I wonder if we can find C mu. I'm not sure. It might be. Look at these guys right here. It might be related to this output capacitance here. This is where the emitter current is zero. VCB is 10, the collector base junction is 10 volts, and IE is 0. So if we had 10 volts between the collector and the base on the transistor, I'll just write that here, and then there's no emitter current. And here's your transistor. So collector and base, and there's no emitter current, right? That's giving you, and now we're looking at the output capacitance there. Trouble is the base is probably open in that case to make no emitter current. So they're saying they're measuring 8 picofarads. It could be, in our model, there's nothing here, right? So... it probably has something to do with those two guys right there. So that's not very helpful. So we're not quite sure what to do with C mu, but we know he's pretty small, and we know R mu is pretty large, okay? So we can kind of do that. So those are the things that we kind of, know to begin with. Now, what we'd like to do is we'd like to, or really the C pi was a pretty big thing, you know, because it was a couple hundred picofarads. We got to figure out what that is. We can't just knock that. This must be maybe, 10 picofarads or something, so we might ignore him for the time being.
What happens to these values when it starts getting to the nano level? Like
really small? The smaller you make the transistor, the less the, capacitances are.
Oh,
really? So that's makes things work better at higher frequencies, which is good. used to be, you know, like in the 60s and 70s and so on, even 80s, that most transistors, you know, wouldn't operate, you know, at the gigahertz range, you know, they just, but, you know, as time went on, you know, they developed ones that would work in the gigahertz range, and part of that was shrinking things down, you know. Well, they had tubes back in the old days, and the tubes are big things, you know, so they always have, you know, some kind of capacitance.
When did they switch over to what we got now?
The transistors?
Yeah.
It was like in the 60s, you know, kind of, they were still selling some tube stuff in the 70s, and they still sell some today,
yeah,
you know, but it's mostly to, you know, retro people, right? Yeah, right. They like the old days, right? Okay, so we got to find that C pi. And so what we want to do is we want to look at what FT is, because FT is this. See, beta is a function of omega. Here's omega here. Maybe I'll even make this like log of omega. Okay, so I'm making a Bode plot here. And here we have, you know, this is going to be beta as a function of omega. And you know, would be at a low frequency here. I'm going to call that beta DC or something. Beta zero, okay? That's at DC. And what happens is beta is like we're going to look at it here, and beta is really, you know, what beta is defined as, it's defined as IC divided by IB, right? And really, we'd kind of like to do that with VCE being zero here, you know, kind of putting a wire on here, right? Because then we don't have anything from RO, right? It's just going to be from there. So this is going to be with a collector to emitter shorted, or VCE equals zero. I'll just put VCE equals zero. VCE equals zero. And so if we, you know, we have a wire on here and we put in some base current, you can see what's going to happen here. Let's just ignore this guy for a minute. We'll take care of him in a minute, at least approximately. But if you just think about these two guys, there's a low-pass filter here. Your current goes in, the high frequencies go here, and the low frequencies go there, right? And it's a first-order low-pass filter. If you just those two guys, these guys are, you know, pretty ignorable. Then it's going to be a first-order circuit, an RC circuit, right? And it's just going to come out here to a cutoff frequency, and then it's going to come down here. And if this is 0 dB here, or 1, you know, maybe I'll make this in dB here, then this point right there is called F sub T, right there, where it goes through 0 dB. In other words, it's the gain bandwidth product for beta. So FT, a beta of 2 pi FT equals 1, okay? Which implies that FT is the gain bandwidth product. And the thing that was kind of important about this gain bandwidth product was if we put feedback on here, it would just lower this thing down, but that FT stayed the same. Right? I mean, it would just kind of go like this then, right? If I made the feedback come down here, it would go like that. And so, you know, that's kind of a nice thing. And FT, basically, it doesn't depend very much on IC, okay? FT is pretty independent of IC. Well, beta itself changes a little bit as IC. You know, you can see that HFE moving over there, right, as you change IC. But the FT doesn't change that much with IC, yeah. I mean, it moves this beta zero up and down, but this place out here stays the same pretty much. And so all the transistor data sheets, you'll always find FT on the BJT transistor data sheets, okay? And the reason they're put there is because this fact that it doesn't change with IC. So it's one of those kind of parameters you can say, okay, good, this is going to stay, right? And if we can say that's independent of IC, then we could use that to figure out this R pi, C pi business. You know, we know how to get R pi, but then we can get C pi. So basically what we're going to do is use this kind of definition right here. And we're going to say when this guy equals 1, that equals, you know, beta at that FT equals 1, right? And so then we can, from that, we can figure out what the C pi has to be. That's kind of like our way of doing this thing. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say, you know, what is this guy right here? Okay, so what I want to do is I want to put in an IB here. Here's an IB. And here's the IC. IC. And I want to put a short circuit on VCE. So I'm going to put a short circuit here. This is for measuring beta function of omega, okay? So I put that short circuit on there, and I put an IB in here, and then you can see, you know, the current going around here will be approximately beta IB, okay? And so let's just look at what is IB here. I'm gonna kind of do that in red over here. Now maybe I'll just do this down here. IB is equal to, it's going to be well, I guess it's actually, we got to think about this guy right here. There's one more thing I probably should have done. When we change this guy right here, beta IB, if IB is this guy, that's not the current through here, right? And so this thing right here is not beta. This is really GM V pi, where this is V pi right here, okay? So now this is GM V pi, and GM, see, GM V pi in the old case, you know, GM V pi must equal beta IB, you know, from the old case, right? This is the old beta. And so basically what I'm saying is that V pi over R pi is equal to IB now, in the old case, that means before we had all these extra stuff on there, right? And so V pi over R pi, V pi over IB is R pi. So this says, this would imply GM equals beta times IB over V pi, which is beta R pi, beta over R pi, right? So GM R pi is equal to this beta, and this is, I don't know, we call this beta zero. That's like the DC beta here, okay? And so instead of writing this guy is GM V pi, but beta is now this definition where IC is what goes in the collector here, and IV is what comes in the base, okay? But it's really the voltage across here that makes this current go, okay? In the old days, when we didn't have, this guy right here and didn't have that guy right there, everything was going through R pi, and we could just, you know, do our simple model to say it was beta IV. But now we have to use V pi instead, okay? Okay, so what is IB? And how does... I need to get IP and V pi kind of related here. So I'm going to ignore Rx, okay? I'm going to ignore Rx because it's so small compared to R pi. Okay, so IB is equal to, IB is going to be, it's going to split. Part's going to go here, part's going to go there, part's going to go there, and part's going to go there, right? And so IB is, in fact, V pi, if you look at here, there's a short on there. So V pi is across these guys, right? So it's really going to be V pi divided by, you know, all those guys right there, the parallel combination of all that, right? So, and what I want to do is I really want to do this as phasors here, right? Because we're doing going to have to use phasors to do this. This is a frequency response kind of thing. So it's going to be V pi divided by, okay, so now I have to figure out what the parallel is here. So I'm going to have 1 over R pi plus 1 over R mu, right, plus J omega, and then it's going to be C mu plus C pi, right? You agree? Okay. And IC is going to be approximately, this is where I want to make an approximation here. I'm going to say there really is some IC coming in here, and most of it's going to go down there. A very little bit of it will go over there, okay? And so to make the algebra easier, what I want to do is ignore the part going through the R mu and the C mu, okay? So I'm just going to say it's basically GM V pi, approximately, okay? So this will be GM V pi. Okay, so if I do a little algebra on this, this becomes V pi divided by, or times, I guess, times 1 over R pi plus 1 over R O plus, or mu, I guess, right? Mu plus J omega C pi plus C mu. Okay, and so now if I take IC divided by IB, then I can figure out what goes there. IC over IB beta of omega will be IC over IB evaluated at VCE equals zero, which is, that's this guy divided by that guy, right? So the V pi's cancel out, and this becomes GM, right? And then I have to say it's divided by 1 over R pi plus 1 over R mu plus J omega C mu plus C pi, like that, right? Can I do that right? Okay. And I could call this guy right here, well, I mean... Yeah, the V pi cancels. Usually, R mu is much, much greater than R pi, okay? So usually that's the case. If R mu is much, much greater than R pi, I could just say this is like 1 over R pi, right? And in that case, we'd have... This was already approximate, but it will make it even more approximate. Beta of omega would be gm over 1 over r pi plus j omega c mu plus c pi. And then I can multiply top and bottom by r pi, which is gm r pi over 1 plus j omega r pi times c mu plus c pi, right? Yeah, so that's equal to beta 0 over 1 plus j omega r pi c mu plus c pi. And now you're beginning to see that this looks like a first order transfer function, right? And this point where it goes down at 3 dB, you know, that's 1 over r pi times c mu plus c pi. Right there, that's the frequency there, the radian frequency that would be the cutoff frequency for that thing. Because, you know, this is like equal to beta 0 over 1 plus j omega over omega 0, where omega 0 is equal to 1 over r pi c mu plus c pi, right? Okay, now, beta of 2 pi ft equals 1, right? And that's going to be beta 0 divided by 1 plus j 2 pi ft, right? That's omega t, and then r pi c mu plus c pi, like that. And actually, I maybe should say the magnitude of this guy is 1, so the magnitude of that guy is 1, right? So if the magnitude of that guy is 1, that basically means that beta 0 is about like this, right? I mean, roughly. So that says that beta 0 is approximately 2 pi ft r pi c mu plus c pi. And so that tells me that I know what r pi, and so I get c mu plus c pi is equal to beta 0 over 2 pi ft r pi. And, you know, in the case if c mu is much smaller than c pi, if you can find c mu, then, you know, you can actually subtract it off and get c pi there. But you can see that c pi here is going to change with r pi, right? And r pi changes with IC, right, or IB, you know, same thing, somewhere here, right here, right? And so that's how you get the C pi, which is, kind of important. And then we could actually, what we'll do really quickly next time is we'll just look through for the 2N2222 and try and find these, you know, these parameters, but... This is the kind of stuff you do to go through to get the thing, and there's a lot of little approximations in the way, and, you know.
You know, people rely a lot on electrical engineers.
And if they knew all the approximations they made.
Yeah. The thing in front of the book, that's a pacemaker?
Yeah, right. I mean,
they put that in a heart. Yeah. Like, it'll be this much.
Yeah, I was